Let me call your attention to our scriptural passage. It's located on the back of your worship bulletin, and also it comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verses 28 through 31 and the 35th verse. Listen to these words. Now it is up to you. Be on your toes, both for yourselves and your congregation of sheep. The Holy Spirit has put you in charge of these people, God's people they are, to guard and protect them. God himself thought they were worth dying for. I know that as soon as I'm gone, vicious wolves are going to show up and rip into this flock. Men from your very own rank, twisting words so as to seduce disciples into following them instead of Jesus. So stay awake and keep up your guard. Remembering those 3 years, I've kept at it with you, never letting up, pouring my heart out with you one after another. In all of this, I have given you an example that by such work, we must support the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, for he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon, Blessed to be a Blessing. Blessed to be a Blessing. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Blessed to be a Blessing. Amen. Coincidentally, this is also the theme for our stewardship campaign, so you'll hear more about it throughout the month of November. But if you look at the text very closely, Acts, the 20th chapter, you'll see that the Apostle Paul is writing to the early day believers and church. Here is Paul getting ready to share that he's getting ready to get off the scene. We know that if you look closely in Acts chapter 1, you'll see that the Apostle Paul is heading to Macedonia and then from Macedonia to Jerusalem. But if you look closely at the entire chapter, you'll see how the Apostle Paul is speaking to the early day believers as well as us today. Biblical scholarship tells us that this passage of scripture and the context in which Paul was writing was around 58 AD. The Apostle Paul was writing 28 years after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's at the close of his life, the close of his day. And so the Apostle Paul knew that he was getting ready to depart from them for the last time. But he wanted to encourage them to continue to keep the faith, to continue to stay focused and to stay together, to not fall asleep. The Apostle Paul was speaking as it relates to the time period, that chronos time. And he also was speaking to kairos time. If you look closely in the text, we can identify with Paul talking about both, and yet he's going to also give us an extra nugget, if you will, as it relates to time. Chronos time deals with our calendars. It deals with our watches that we wear, or even our phones that tell us time, or even the wall calendar, clock. Many of us know exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about. We can stay close to the calendar, to the minute of the day that we want to do this, that, or the other. We just experienced that a few hours ago. At 2 a.m., we were told to what? Turn back our clocks 1 hour. Now, not too many people cry or have a little temper tantrum or fall out or panic when we say fall back. Now, when the other happened, then yes, we do have a problem. When we have to spring forward and we lose an hour of sleep. Well, if you look at the Apostle Paul, he indeed was dealing with chronos time. Time as it relates to a schedule. He had a schedule to keep. I just shared it with you in the first verse of the 20th chapter. Paul was really getting ready to say goodbye. He would stay with them for a season, and then he would give his final goodbye. You'll read that at the latter portion of this passage of Scripture. But then Paul had good sense. He also knew his life wasn't just surrounding a calendar. It was also Kairos time, in God's own time. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that God doesn't do everything the way I want him to do based upon my time schedule. Someone said he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Kairos time deals with God's own timing. So the Apostle Paul could identify with you and with me as it relates to chronos time based upon a calendar or schedule, but he also could deal with Kairos time based upon God's own timing. But if you have a Bible, I want you to look, and especially if you have a King James translation, because you won't find it in the four gospel writings from the Gospels, but you will only find it here in Acts chapter 20 and the 35th verse. And if you have a King James translation, it's printed in red, or in the New King James translation. And the 35th verse, the Apostle Paul, he gives a spinoff, not from Chronos time, but from Kairos time. He says, what? As it relates to a blessing. Jesus said it is more blessed to what? To give than it is to receive. He uses that word blessed, and he gives us a Greek word based upon not chronos time, but kairos time. Makaia is the Greek word for blessed. It means to be happy or fortunate. Fortunate or happy. Now, the world would tell us, if you want to be fortunate and happy, it's about what? Getting, getting, getting. But God's word reminds us it's not so much about getting, getting. It's about giving, giving, giving. When you give, it will make you fortunate. It will make you happy. Look at your sermon notes, and the verse bullet point question is this question. What if you could have joy no matter what? No matter what. No matter what happens, what's going on in the world, no matter who wins the election. What if you could have joy no matter what? No matter your situation, no matter what you're dealing with, you have nothing but eternal joy, inward joy, inside and out, and people notice it. Well, the Apostle Paul would share that our joy comes from our connection with God, with God. Not from anything the world can give us, but what God gives us. He gives us life. He gives us opportunity to have life, and not just to have life, but to have it more abundantly. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter in the 10th verse says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let me share this with you, and I don't know how many baseball fans we have out there, but this World Series was very unusual, and Game 7 was truly a classic. Now, I'm not trying to poke fun at those who are from Ohio and was cheering for the Indians, or even those of you from Chicago to celebrate. But it had a sense of bringing those areas together as they cheered on their favorite teams. And it was a great reminder that they waited and waited and waited, and some people thought it would never come in their lifetime. But it brought them a sense of joy. They had to wait decades after decades after decades after decades. I don't have much time to say that, but over 108 years. For their team to arrive to the World Series. It reminded me of a good baseball story. A story about a game that was going on. It was the bottom of the ninth. The batter was up. His count was 3-2. Three balls and two strikes. The pitcher was pitching extremely well. Here he comes. He threw the ball from the mound, and that batter stood up there and he swung and he hit the ball. It kept going up and up and up outside of the ballpark. That batter, he only did one thing wrong. That batter got ready to run the bases. That batter started on second base, came around to third base, came to home plate, and the umpire said something he thought he wouldn't hear. Said, "You're out." Why? He missed first base. He missed first base. The Apostle Paul was reminding his believers as their hearts were being torn because the Apostle told them that he was getting ready to leave them and he would see them no more. But Paul reminded them that the faith that they had become close to, that they were holding on to, the God that they were serving, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was not the Apostle Paul himself, but it was the Word of God. He pointed them back to first base, back to the reason that they had a connection with God. It is through God's Word. The Apostle Paul knew that he was getting ready to go to God's house, God's kingdom, but he wanted the believers to be encouraged and to continue to believe. Just like that passage the Apostle Paul connects to in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with such great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." It wasn't based upon the Apostle Paul. It was based upon the Word of God. He pointed them back to first base. You look closely in this passage of Scripture and you'll see that the Apostle Paul must have been a long-winded preacher. Folks don't like long-winded preachers. Don't say anything. How do we know? Just look at Acts, the 20th chapter. The Apostle Paul was preaching so long that Eunicus, a young man, he was seated in the window. And guess what happened? He fell. And they thought he was dead, but the Apostle Paul was willing to go down there. And he goes there and he embraces him and he comes back to life. And the Apostle Paul kept on preaching. Kept on preaching. Because he wanted to encourage the believers to continue the work that God has called you and me into. You look closely at this passage of Scripture and you'll see where the Apostle told them, "Don't be asleep, but wake up. Stay on your toes, just like a little baby waiting for a gift." He reminded them that vicious wolves are coming to separate the church, but you stay connected. And then if you read closely in the 20th chapter, you'll see that they were breaking bread and sharing the cup. Well, look at your next bullet point as I get ready to haste along. And it's this question. And I want you to ask your neighbor, how do you disciple people? Go ahead, ask your neighbors that. How do you disciple people? One person at a time. There's numerous of ways for us to disciple people, to invite them to be connected with Jesus Christ through His Word, through small Bible study groups, through our different United Methodist women and men opportunities and all of our different Sunday school classes. It's different ways that we can connect people to Christ. We're getting ready to have the Messiah on December the 3rd and 4th. Hey, all you have to do is say, "Ma'am, wouldn't it be wonderful to see you there? That's your ticket. You can get in free now." And then you'll see Cecil here and say, "Cecil, why don't you take your wife out for a date? You can go to either one of these dates and you'll be able to get in. December the 3rd or December the 4th, right here." And guess who's conducting the whole thing? Where's Paige? Did I lose her? Right there, Paige. You want to hear her? She's dynamite. And her choir is going to be singing too. Man, you ought to hang out with me and let's go to the concert. That's it. That's how we disciple people. One person at a time. Offering them an opportunity to get connected with Christ and Christ's church. It is about making disciples. That is the mission and ministry of the church. Amen? Amen. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. And then lastly, look at the last bullet point question is this question. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Now, many of you have been looking at this box wondering what in the world is going on. What does it say on the front box? Oh, I didn't hear you. Restraint. Yes, a restraint box. Well, the story goes, true story. It was a man. He always found it a way to save a dollar. Many of his friends said that he probably is going to die with the first dollar he ever made. They even called him a cheapskate. How many of you know cheapskates? Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Put your hands up. Yeah. He always found it a way to save money. He even on Sunday would get the newspaper and he would cut out coupons. And everywhere he goes, he would have a coupon. If it was to a restaurant, if he was to take his wife out on a date, he would have a coupon. They thought he was just a cheapskate, just holding on to every dollar he made, never giving anything back. Till one day they learned that every time he didn't pay full price, he went home with the rest of the money and he put it in his restraint box. And he kept doing that all during the year. And at the end of the year, he gave to the poor, to the needy, and to the church. And his friends finally understood what it meant. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. How do we know? If you got your Bibles, look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.